Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I black out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the packs I'm serving him, mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What Will Fergie Do Podcast. I am Olu Jimmy, joined today by Mr. Francis.
What's good?
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Chapui, El Maestro, John Wick, Dr. Ramen, Nostradamus, you know the regulars. You know the vibes. Happy to be here again another week. I hate to say I called it, but I did. Hey.
What did you call? I was like, you want to start this point again with your with your propaganda. You guys, I don't want to say I called it. I have another name to add to your repertoire. Denzel in Training Day. I'm sure you can find a way to fuse that in there.
I don't remember Training Day like that. I'm gonna have to watch it again before I get on board with that.
Why is Francis laughing? No, trust me, like Denzel, you watch it again. I'm actually surprised you remember Denzel and watch it Training Day, but
I just remember this nigga died at the end, you know.
No, but he was the man, though. I mean, technically, John Wick died at the end of John Wick 4. Spoiler alert.
I haven't watched John Wick 4, but spoiler alert.
Oh, my bad. I just assumed everyone on the outside. Nah.
I thought in the movie, of course. So, you know.
I was like, did you get a script?
I don't like to watch the movies that I star, you know, I have a starring role in.
Anyways, happy Friday, guys. How's everyone doing? Long week for me. But,
Francois, you've been awfully quiet in the last few parts.
We made it to Friday. Francis, how are you doing? How are you doing, Blood?
Dr. Rahman is here for you.
Good. Just remember. I'm good, bro. I'm good, man. I'm just tired, you know.
We miss your enthusiasm on the pod.
Just for the listeners wondering, this is new on a Friday. It's been a long week for my boy. Y'all go easy on him, you know?
is that supposed to be for you? Are you trying to tell yourself? Are you trying to remind me? Anyways, since the last pod, we've played two games. We played one against Burnley over the weekend, and midweek in the Carabao Cup, we played Crystal Palace. We won both of them, back-to-back wins. But less about the win. I think one of the things, or I think the main thing that we all took away from our last board and said we wanted to see improvement on was, number one, energy, and I think number two was style of play. And I want to start with you, Maestro, just because that's one of the things you brought up that you wanted to see. Like, have you seen any improvement from the first four games or five games compared to the last two games? Like, what have you seen so far?
For me, it's still a small sample size. Even the last two games, even the first five games, as you guys know, I've been very bullish and optimistic about this team and my expectations for what we will achieve this season. So I always want to give time. I think you can learn some things about your team in the first seven games for sure. But I feel like a season is a story. You know, it's going to have ups and downs, and you get a better sense after a few more games. The last two games, the Burnley game, I believe in my analysis, I said it's one of those games where you can't take too much from, because even if we win, I felt like it was a lose-lose, right? Like, we would have had to really put the performance over and beyond for anybody to really give us credit for that. And it reflected.
And I guess let's just expand on that. Like, what, me personally, I don't think we did anything different in that Burnley game. To me, Burnley had majority of the possession in that game.
I disagree, because I think you can, and this is something Ten Hag said, is you can have control of a game without having possession. You know, I think Burnley I think they had a chance that was counted offside, or maybe they hit the bar. But aside from that, like, I don't really remember like any chances that were, and that was before we scored, so I don't remember any chances that were of note. I don't think it was a great performance, but that was the performance I expected, if I'm being honest. That's why I said I don't think we'll get credit even if we win, because at that point we just needed to not concede, or at least needed to keep it compact, and then two, put in a performance where the players were showing that like they were fighting throughout the game. And I think it did both. Like the second part, I don't think we played well, but I thought we were compact and we played as a team, right? Like I think the front, midfield and the defense were connected throughout the game. Now again, the opposition is Burnley, but we've had away struggles, and for me it's like you just go, you try to get a result, and then you start trying to build on it. Like all areas of our team was under pressure. Like the attack was under pressure, our goalkeeping was under pressure, defense under pressure for a bunch of reasons, you know, whether it was injury, whether it was form, you know. So I think they just needed to show and get themselves together in a way that reflected the desire to be able to do something within the game. I don't know if we want to talk about it now, but at some point as well, I want to highlight, you know, even the performance of someone like Hannibal, right, in that game. But yeah, I think overall it was just a decent performance and it was a good win.
That's fair. One thing I still noticed with this team, and I think you said, you know, you felt like the defense and midfield was connected. I still feel like that cut back to the middle of the 18-yard box is still open. And there were a few, again, I feel like if we play better opponents, they might be able to still explore that, because I still see that happening where I'm like, oh, this guy's going to cut it back, but they never do. But that space is still there, if that makes sense. And I guess I'll come to you, Francis. What were your thoughts on the last two games?
Does that include Burnley?
Yeah, the last two games. Yeah, we played Burnley and Crystal Palace in our last pod.
I can't remember the Burnley game.
Well, oh, I guess you can Crystal
Palace then. Yeah, Burnley game was... There's nothing spectacular about the game. I think it was a makeshift team. We started with Evans, Lindelof in defence, I think.
And Pelestri started in the wing.
I don't remember Pelestri
played that game. I don't think.
Yeah, I think Hannibal.
Are you sure?
It was Hannibal, and then Bruno was on the right.
Yeah, I think it was Hannibal, Casemiro, Scott McTominay, and then Rashford, Hoyland, and Bruno Fernandes. I think that's how it started. To be honest with you, the Burnley game just showed how poor or how much work United needs to do in terms of control and keeping possession. I'm not sure what Erik ten Hag was talking about. You can't control the game without having the ball. You would rather control the game with the ball than control the game without the ball. So I'm not sure what the hell he was talking about. It just showed, like, it was impressive to see how Burnley could actually play the ball, like, very well on the ground and, like, string passes cohesively within their team. You can tell the young team, they're growing. I don't know if the step up to the EPL is a little bit too much for them, but they're a decent team to watch. But United, I don't know, it was kind of unfortunate. We couldn't really string passes together. You know, we reverted to kicking the ball long and trying to beat the press. And, you know, Hoyland couldn't really hold up the ball properly. But, yeah, it wasn't really a fun game to watch for United. But if Evans' goal had stood, I think he'll have even changed the game more, because Bruno's goal came right before halftime, right? And then, you know, the team had the chance to, like, regroup and whatnot. But it was a good game. Defensively, I think we did well with the players that we had. But then switching to Crystal Palace, I think Crystal Palace didn't press because United had more control and United had the ball more, and were able to move them around as quickly as possible. And I think that's what I noticed in defense, that we were playing faster passes, quicker passes, and the players were vacating spaces, but then you have someone else that comes into their space to create either an overload or just change the dimension of our play. And I thought it was a good game. I would say this on record, I think one of our most important players, if not our most important player, is Varane. It sounds weird saying this, but I think when Varane is not playing, you can tell the difference in the team, defensively, offensively, in midfield, everything. But no, it was good to have him back. I thought some boys played well. I thought Pellistri was okay. I don't know if he's ready to be a starter, but that was a decent turnout for him. Hannibal as well. I liked his energy, but after his energy, I'm not sure I like the end product. I'm not sure I like the decision making. And again, he's still young, and that will come with time and more experience. But yeah, he's one to look out for. Amrabat. I liked Amrabat's cameo. I thought he was composed. I thought he brought a lot of energy, and he brought a lot of common sense to the midfield. You know, he's a simple guy, and you can tell from his demeanor as well. He's not the guy that wants to go above and beyond. He's the professional guy. And I'm hoping he can continue to bring a lot of that to the team. It just sucks that I think with the injuries that we have, he might have to feature in left-back position for a longer period of time. But yeah, let's see how that works. I don't know if Crystal Palace plays with an out-and-out winger. If they do, then that would be a big problem for him. But if they don't, I think, yeah, it gives us the opportunity to overload in midfield, or him in that and all that jazz. So that should be a good game. Oh, give credit to Marshall, actually. I enjoyed his game. I like what Marshall brings, in the sense of he can hold up play, he can control, and he can link up. But I'm just hoping that, you know, his injury struck past season is behind him, and he can get a run of game over time.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Tony played well. I think I enjoyed watching Garnacho on Pellistri on the rings as well. One of my biggest highlights was, like you said, like Amrabat, how calm he is on the ball. I just hope this is not just one of those like new cast smells thing where, you know, they start off very good and then slowly but surely, once they get used to the team, everyone just kind of falls in place and does the same thing everyone else has been doing. But Lanry, it's unfortunate that like Amrabat would have to play left back going forward. But what were your thoughts on this cameo, like on for us?
I don't think it's unfortunate. I think
why you don't?
No, don't get me wrong. I would rather like Sergio Reguilón was fit, because he's been one of our best players this season when he's been available. So I'd rather he was there, but I think it just gives us more control of these games in a natural way, based on the way we want to play. Right now, we have most of our games coming up are going to be at home. So by the nature of that, then the strength of
I think the next four games are going to be at home.
Yeah, the strength of schedule is not ridiculous. So I think we're going to have more control. To me, it doesn't matter if they have an out-and-out winger going against Amrabat or not. If you have a midfield or any kind of combination that has Casemiro, Amrabat, maybe Mount, and one more midfielder, I think that's going to be very tough for teams to even get any kind of stronghold or strong foot in the game. And you're not going to get too many situations where their winger is isolating our player one-on-one, right? Because even in defense, the way that we've looked to play in the last two games is to be more compact, right? So we might bring in Casemiro. He might end up playing six, but really function as an eight in the game going forward. And then Amrabat inverts into midfield along with whoever it is that that what's his name, ETH wants to start. So yeah, I think what we got from Amrabat is kind of what I expected. I liked his range of passing. I think before we scored that first goal with Garnacho, there's the out ball that he tries all the way from his own wing to the other side, that diagonal that kept catching the other team off guard. And it's like, because Pelestri was there, he was staying very close to the touchline. So the Crystal Palace defenders always had to make a decision about, do they stay wide or do they try to recover when that pass comes in? And because that pass was very good, it meant that Pelestri found himself in quite a bit of space. I think that right wing for us is going to be very important. I don't know if you guys know, but Anthony is back, or he's going to be back in training tomorrow. So his hiatus has been, they've cancelled his hiatus for now.
Still begs the question why they sent him away. Nothing has changed as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. Like I said, you know what's funny is like on, like yesterday or 2 days ago, I think I was watching something on Sky where they were saying, you know, when do they think he's going to come back? And somebody was saying, well, they can't see him coming back until the case is resolved. I'm like, yo, this case is probably going to take at least a year or so to be resolved. Like that's, okay, maybe, when I say resolved, maybe resolved is even too far. That's assuming it doesn't go to court. But I don't think they will. I think in the statement, they said pending further information coming out, they are monitoring the situation. To me, like I said earlier when it happened, I don't feel like you should be suspending a player until he's charged. Unless it's like, say, the Greenwood case where you have an overwhelming amount of initial evidence that suggests that, okay, there's more to this than just he said, she said at this point anyway. So I think that's going to play out. I don't know when he's going to get back into the team, but he's going to be training on Saturday. But that right wing is going to be very important for us because I think if we have a couple more people like Amrabat, whose range of passing is looks like it's crisp, who is a little more press resistant than Casemiro is, then it means that we can actually like isolate that right wing or even either one of the wings and put our wingers in more one-on-one situations, which I think will end up creating more chances for the team as a whole. So that's why I think he's going to be good. Obviously, playing with him as either a 6 or an 8 alongside Casemiro is also going to give the team a little more defensive stability. And just in general, our options are much better, right? Meno is coming back. Kobbie Mainoo, that is. We saw Dan Gore, who is the youngin, that came on. We have, what's his name? Mount, that also came into this game. I thought Mount was good in the game as well. So our midfield options are looking really, really good. Like, when you begin to look at our midfield options, I almost feel like Scott McTominay and Eriksen are probably the lowest two in that pecking order. Maybe Dan Gore, actually. But I think Maino is above those two. I think for sure Hannibal in the last, like his performances recently, he's ahead of those two. I think because of his hairstyle and because he looks like a very technical, flashy player, people kind of expect him to be a little more, like to be a little more, or what's the word? I don't know. Flashy is not the one I'm looking for, but in that vein, you know. But for me, he just kept it very simple. Again, that energy, like there were some tackles that he was making in and around the 90th minute where I'm like, the energy levels are still high. And when we talked last week, I just kept thinking, like, when we talk about determination, it's not just about the ability to press, it's to press intelligently as well. And for me, he's offered something that Scott does not. He's not yet the finished product. He's not yet somebody who is carrying the ball forward in huge ways. But you can begin to see that he's getting more comfortable, even in possession. And he's a little more press resistant than Scott is, and at least willing to pass forward a little bit more than Scott is. But nothing about the performance except the energy and just, again, the pressing was like, you know, out of this world. The person that I wanted to talk about in the Burnley game was Johnny Evans. And not just because of the pass for Bruno. That was an amazing goal, by the way. And not the header that was cancelled. But again, we don't know how VAR is working. But just the calmness of that performance I remember watching that game and thinking to myself, man, I wish Maguire could give us this. You know, I don't want to overreact to the performance because I don't think you're going to get...
Like, Maguire didn't have a bad game against Crystal Palace. They started for us, right? If I remember correctly.
I
see what you're saying, but I think Maguire kind of did that during the Crystal Palace.
Maguire didn't do that away from home, right? Like, if you notice, Maguire almost exclusively only plays at home and in games that we are expected to win. Now, again, we lost to Brighton. You can make an argument about whether or not we're expected to win. But our home form in general has been really good, right? And that Burnley game that we're talking about, part of the reason why I highlight that game is because we were not dominant in possession, right? But I'm not just, again, not just about the pass that led to the assist for the goal.
I know what you mean. Like, I feel like he had a very, like, vintage, like, he kind of took the clock back.
He's tackling, his interceptions, he's passing out of the defense. And I just remember thinking, like, this guy is, what, 36 or however old he is? Like, if we got this from Maguire, we would be okay with him being our third-choice centre-back, you know? And I guess now that Lisandro Martinez is going to be out for a few months, we are going to rely on, you know, now we have four centre-backs. So we have Varane, Lindelof, Johnny Evans, and Maguire. And so Maguire is going to get to play. And I'm almost hoping that he shows a little bit better form, because I think we'll end up selling him probably not in, I guess, maybe January if he doesn't get a run of games soon. But I would say probably next summer, more than likely. But, you know, even as he's still on our team this season, I'm interested to see what his performances look like going forward. Just a little more composure and a little more confidence on the ball that can then help the rest of the team, like, play better, you know?
So now that we know that, again, this question is for you, Francis. Now that we know that, Martinez is out at least for a couple of weeks, who would you play in that position between those three backups that you just mentioned, Lyon just mentioned? Francis, who would play alongside Varane for you?
Maguire wasn't bad in the last game, to be honest with you. I think if we are rewarding good behavior, you would let Maguire play again. He played more like the last man, and then Varane was moving around. Varane was a little bit more mobile. So, I'm fine with either or. But, from what I've seen recently, I thought Varane, Maguire was good. And, I'd reward him and just play.
Yeah, Maguire played against the Crystal Palace backups at home. I don't know.
So you'd rather play Lindelof?
Yeah, for sure. I'd rather play Lindelof for sure.
Okay, yeah, that's who you pick then. I pick Maguire.
Wow, good for you.
Anyways, let's move on to the weekend. We're playing, like we've mentioned, Crystal Palace back to back. The game will be a little bit different, even though the game is at home still, because, like you said, you have the likes of Eze coming into the team, and I can't remember who else didn't play in the game.
Didn't Eze play against us?
No, he didn't play the first game.
No, I remember seeing Eze for sure.
Maybe he came in as a sub, okay. Yeah, but he didn't start that game. Yeah, he didn't start that game, so you know he's going to play. What's up with the other guy, Olise? I haven't seen him since. Is he injured?
Yeah, I haven't seen him either. I'm actually thinking which of their main players they play. You know, apart from the guy in defense, Anderson, maybe Dan Ward, Eze didn't start.
Eduardo start for them over the week?
No, I think it was Mateta that started, and Edward has probably just come back from injury.
Yeah, so I probably expect Edward, if he's fit, to start for them, because he's usually that starts for them. But regardless, I think I'm probably just more worried about, you know, what happens when we bring, you know, the whole squad back, because you still have the likes of Rashford, Bruno, and, you know, I know we've had our issues with Rashford and, you know, this season, but I think it should still be a W for us at home. But what are your thoughts, Francis? What do you think? How do you see the game going?
I mean, what's the coach's name again?
Hodgson.
Okay. Roy Hodgson, yeah. I think he has a good record at Old Trafford. I don't think he has lost in like 6 years or something like that.
For real?
Yeah, I was reading that a few days ago. So
what did you say, Maestro? Did you say snacks?
Cap. Heavy cap.
What part of it is a cap?
Roy Hodgson having a good record at Old Trafford. Cap.
In the past 6 years?
Any time frame you want to use, my G.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, with that, I don't know, man. I'm really not looking forward to seeing Rashford and Rashford back in the lineup, to be honest with you. But you never know. As I've talked about, I've said it before, man. Like,
I just wanted you to put it on the record. Now you said it to me, but you know. What did I say? That you wanted Rashford benched.
Okay. So you heard what I said. Like, I don't know what your question is.
No, I said I wanted you to say it out loud. You just said you're not looking forward to Rashford playing. That's not the same thing as saying that you want him to be benched. Because when Rashford scores 2 goals in this game, I just want it to be clear that you want him to be benched. Understand.
I mean, I said that as well after my statements. Like, as I've called his name now, my NW is going to score. It's just the way it works.
This guy will hate more than he. You know what? Let me let you finish. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
But yeah, I don't know. It'll probably be one of those. This is the game that Casemiro got that red card, right?
The last one
guy's neck or something.
Was it this one? No.
I think so. We ended up winning the game 2-1 or so. Yeah, I think United will win the game. Just because that is at Old Trafford. But it won't be as easy as the 3-0.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. Like, it won't be as easy as... But like, I think I already predicted, like I said, it was going to be back-to-back Ws anyway. So I think United is going to win the game, but... What I would
shout out to you, by the way, you've gotten your prediction. Well, not the exact scoreline, but the win, yeah.
But I think besides the win, what I really want to see is just more link-up play between our wingers and Højlund is basically what I want to see. And the second, why are you laughing?
Justina, you wait for a minute.
And secondary to that is I just want to make sure that our midfield and defense is a little bit more compact. Because like I said, I still think like that space when we had the position is going to the byline and crosses the ball back, that space is still always open. It's just a matter of like if you have an opponent that actually would take advantage of that. But I still see that space open almost all the time. And then you have the trailing guy coming and just scores. So those are the two things I think I just want to watch for in this game. Besides us like winning the game, obviously, you won the 3 points. But I think I just want to see a better improvement with the way the first team plays is my idea of a good game. Maestro, what are your thoughts on how you see this game going?
For me, I just want the win, right? I don't know that we're at the point where our performances are going to be at the level that we want it to be as fans. Right. So for me, I just really want us to win. I believe in the team that we have. I believe in our manager. Do I think this team can be better? 100%. But I feel like at this point, we are going through a lot of outside and inside turmoil to where I'm not looking for a great performance. I'm just looking for some of our best players to actually play and be the difference in the game in terms of helping us win, right?
I guess, at what point then do we start looking for that then? We're already 7 games into the season.
Yeah, but I just don't think it works like that, right? You know, I think if you are a successful team, your players are going to play better, right? Like, even when we talk about Rashford, for example, it's not that I think Rashford has lit it up in his performances this season, right? But some of the things that people... I think Rashford is just an easy target for a lot of people, right? The same way that we can see, you know, someone like Maguire is an easy target as well, or Onana is an easy target. I think those are easy targets for people to say that this is the reason why we're losing. To me, that's not the reason why, right? Like, can some of these guys play better? For sure. But there are certain
qualities. Has anyone said that
Rashford? Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've said that he's the reason why we're losing, though.
Well, but, maybe, I don't know. But somebody's saying he should get benched, right?
So, not like, you feel like we're losing, though.
Yeah, but then you feel like he's part of the problem. Like, you feel like he's a major part of the problem. You just called for Maguire to start in this next game, right?
No. I guess let's take a step back. Not because he's a major part of the problem. Sometimes it's good to gain perspective from the bench.
I don't think Rashford is going to learn anything from the bench.
Okay.
That's my own perspective. I don't feel like he's going to learn anything from the bench. I think there are certain areas of his game right now that are causing frustration, but those are areas that happen at the end of, like, for me, the question about should he cross, should he pass, that's a question that happens after he's already gotten himself in the kind of positions that you want him to be in. Anthony, you never even have the question of should he pass, should he shoot. Like, you do it as far as, like, okay, he's a left leg, everybody knows he wants to do this, but the cutting edge is kind of missing, so he still needs to even get into a point where he has both options open to him, and then he can leverage it. Do you get the difference? So for me, it's like, even if Garnacho played, at the beginning of the season, people called for Garnacho to play. I said I didn't think he was going to be ready. I don't think that has changed, right? Not because Garnacho doesn't have, like, the determination or the desire. Like, I don't feel like he has that problem at all. I just don't know if I can count on him the same way you can count on Pelestri. But for me, Rashford is always going to get into those positions and he accepts the responsibility, same as Bruno. So for me, it's like those guys, I will give them more time to play out of the form, out of the, like, the lack of form that they've shown, or the, not lack of form, but the difficulties that they've shown so far. I'll give them a little more grace to play out of it, because I think at all times when they're in the game, they're a threat. So I'm using Rashford as an example, but I mean that for, like look at Casemiro, for example. In the last two games, he's played well. Now you're looking at him again and saying, okay, like, build on that, right? Like, I wouldn't say just because he's played well in the last two games means I'm super confident that he's going to play exceptionally well in this game. But I will also say that I want to give him a chance to be able to show that he can do that again, right? And build on the performances that we've seen so far. There are certain players that I don't feel you need to give that grace to. So I guess that's the way I'm looking at it. It's just I want a win, and then hopefully the performance is better and we can keep building on it. But we need to, you know, we need to grow our confidence first.
Yeah, I think the one thing we can all agree on is that we all want the win. So 3 points in the bag. Lineup. Onana in goal. Pastor Onana, that's my new name for him, Pastor Onana. Pastor Onana in goal, Dalot, Varane, Lindelof. Is Lindelof a lefty or a righty?
I think he's a righty.
He's a righty.
Isn't Itzich has this thing about playing right, you know, people are left on the... But we don't, I guess all the other backers we have are all righties, right? So it doesn't really matter anyway. So I was trying to pick who. Anyways, so Varane, Lindelof, Amrabat. In midfield, I will go Casemiro, Anibal, Bruno. Actually, no, I'll go Casemiro, Mount, Bruno, Rashford, Hoyland, and I'll go Pelestri. That's my starting lineup. Francis?
Onana, Dalot, Varane, Maguire, Amrabat, Casemiro, Bruno, Hannibal, Mount, Hoyland, Rashford.
Maestro?
Him. Lindelof, Varane, Dalot, Amrabat. In midfield, Hannibal, Bruno. On the right wing, Mount. Oh, Casemiro, sorry, midfield as well. I don't know if I mentioned him. Right wing, Mount. Left wing, Rashford. Striker, Haaland.
Okay, go to scoreline. I will go 3-1 to United. Francis?
2-1. Actually, no, let me take that back. 1-0.
1-0? Okay.
2-0.
Oh, you see, you didn't even wait for me. 2-0. I was going to give you the
maestro is working into his own season form, right? You know? Let's not make a show of it yet.
All right, sounds good. I guess we'll be back on Sunday to see who's right and who's wrong. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. Please give us a follow on socials at What Will Fergie Do on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, rate and review us. 5 stars only. Anything less than 5 stars.
Keep it to yourself.
Y'all know the vibe.